We've heard a lot about President Obama's family history, and in fact, it still remains contentious for a small minority of people. But we've heard less about his wife, Michelle's family, and that story is perhaps a bit more enigmatic.
We joined my husband, Barack Obama, on the improbable journey that has led us to this moment. But each of us comes here also by way of our own improbable journey.
That's Michelle Obama speaking at the Democratic National Convention in 2008. For her, the journey is all the more astonishing, in part because of her family history. The First Lady is directly descended from slaves brought to the U.S. and still held in bondage only five generations ago. Five generations between slavery to the White House. New York Times reporter Rachel Swarn set out to tell the real story of the First Lady's ancestors. Her new book is called American Tapestry, the story of the black, white, and multiracial ancestors of Michelle Obama. And Rachel Swarn joins us now from station WABE in Atlanta. Rachel, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
You know, before we kind of go into many of the things that you discovered about Michelle Obama in your extraordinarily well-researched book, I got to ask you, you know, genealogy at different times in the country's history has been kind of a fad as a pastime, but is this the first time that we've really started to become obsessed with other people's family history, famous people's genealogies?
You know, there is this real fascination with family history, with genealogy, with DNA testing. There are all these shows on television now where we're learning about our celebrities. And I think, you know, the First Lady has always had some curiosity in her own family tree, and it was really fascinating to be able to dig back into her history.
And you start the book with this idea of the degrees of separation, right? You've got the stories of two elderly women, one white, one black, one Democrat, one Republican, neither had any idea that they were related to the First Lady.
Imagine this, you know, you have these two women, one in Atlanta, one in Cleveland, watching the inauguration, and neither of them knowing that they had these connections to the woman who would be the First Lady that dates back to the 1800s.
And what was their response when you told them?
Well, you know, it was a mixed bag. On the one hand, there you are with this connection to a woman in the White House. That's pretty amazing. On the other hand, for Joan Tribble, the white woman, this connection came from a difficult part in our history. And you might imagine what it might be like if someone were to knock on your door and say, oh, by the way, your family owned the First Lady's family. That's a little unsettling.
Well, I mean, I'm descended from slaves myself, so half of my family, well, a certain branch of my family tree is slave owners, and the other half of the rest of them were slaves. It's a completely understandable but very American story.
And it's a very American story.
It is, and to a certain extent, this is more than just a story about Michelle Obama. I mean, you were reaching for some deeper themes here about our connection to each other as Americans.
That's right. You know, Mrs. Obama's ancestry, if you look back, her forebears were Irish Americans who came here with dreams of building lives in a new place. She had slaves who toiled on rice plantations. She had mixed race people who lived free for generations before the Civil War, and runaway slaves even who weren't willing to wait for freedom. Her family story is really representative of the story of so many Americans.
All right, so let's get some more details about her family story. I mean, you must have remembered. Did your book start with the revelation a few years ago, that she had a shockingly white man in her family tree?
It wasn't shocking to her, as it isn't shocking to a lot of African Americans.
Yeah.
She had always suspected that she had white ancestry. And what I was able to do in this book, through DNA testing and research, was to actually identify those white ancestors in her family tree.
And what did you learn about them?
I learned that they were the members of the family that owned her great-great-great-grandmother. They were Irish Americans who were struggling people, actually. They were not wealthy people. We often have this vision of the vast plantation and the wealthy slave owner and the big manor. But these were people who worked the land with their own hands, and they only ended up with slaves because the slave owner married well. And when his wife's wealthy father died, they inherited the First Lady's great-great-great-grandmother.
And what were the branches on the tree that led Michelle Obama to the White House? Where were the important points in her family history that led her in that direction, as opposed to, you know, maybe ending up somewhere else in some other place in time, low income or struggling?
Well, you know, there are different branches of her family tree, and some members of that family tree went off and did well, and some didn't. Her great-great-great-grandmother had a biracial son named Dolphus, and he moved to Birmingham and began the family's climb. They moved from Birmingham to Chicago. But there were family members who stayed, and he had a brother named Henry who had a much harder time and struggled in life. So it wasn't always an easy path for everyone.
You know, have you had any response at all from Michelle Obama, or did you find out whether she's read your book at all?
You know, the First Lady has a policy, sadly, for me, that she does not do interviews for books.
Yeah.
So during the process, I briefed her staff and gave them copies of the book ahead of publication for her and for them. And I haven't heard, but I hope she finds it fascinating.
I mean, this is I would imagine this is an incredible gift that you've given through your research for her daughters. Although, you know, there's still a lot of unanswered questions in your book. How difficult was it to sort of track down some of these far removed great, great, great ancestors?
It's digging back into this history is not an easy thing to do. And particularly if you're looking back into the slavery period before 1870. But at the same time, you know, these days there is more and more out there available online. So many Americans are, you know, digging into family records with Ancestry.com or FamilySearch right from their living rooms. And so on the one hand, it's difficult. On the other hand, there's just more that's easily available.
And we're speaking with Rachel Swarns from the station WABE in Atlanta. She's a New York Times reporter, and her book is called American Tapestry, the story of the black, white, multiracial ancestors of Michelle Obama. But as you say, this is something many Americans are doing. And I wonder if they're going to reach kind of the same conclusions you did, that genealogy in the end tells us about the very complicated, nuanced history of the country. I mean, for example, your book points out that the Great Migration wasn't necessarily just a great migration. It wasn't a journey from point A to point B.
People took various steps along the way. Michelle Obama's ancestors moved from the South to the North, but they didn't just go straight to Chicago. Some went to Baltimore first. Some went to Cleveland. Some ended up in Michigan. Some ended up in Southern Illinois before they moved up to Chicago. And when we talk about modern-day Americans wrestling with this, we had a lovely situation here in the town of Rex, right outside of Atlanta yesterday, where there was a memorial unveiled to her great-great-great-grandmother, and the First Lady's extended family, this constellation of black and white distant cousins, got to meet each other for the first time.
And did you hear what happened?
Well, they had a lot to talk about.
I
there was
bet.
A lot of hugging, a lot of showing, exchanging of information and pictures. And, you know, it was, for some people, it was not an easy thing, you know, going back into history. Some of the descendants of the slave owner, who are, of course, Mrs. Obama's relatives, didn't really want to go back and didn't really want to talk about it. But there were some that were really willing to take on this history, and black and white, they were willing to talk about it yesterday, and that was fascinating to see.
Have you put the same kind of research into your own family that you've put into the First Lady?
I'm curious, just like everyone else. And I was actually in Chicago doing some research on the First Lady's family. She had some ancestors, free ancestors in North Carolina. I was trying to find out if any of them voted. I couldn't find anything on them, but I did find my great-great-great-grandfather, who in North Carolina in 1867 was about 40 years old, and he registered to vote. I don't know if he actually did vote or who he voted for, but that's the oldest record I've been able to find in my family.
And you didn't find that you were 6 degrees removed from either Michelle Obama,
I know, Barack I wondered,
Obama,
right?
Or Kevin Bacon. Any of those would have worked.
I know. She has North Carolina ancestors, and so do I, but no connection there so far.
Well, it is a fascinating book and an incredible storyline. Rachel Swarns, reporter for The New York Times. Her new book is called American Tapestry, the story of the black, white, and multiracial ancestors of Michelle Obama. She joined us from a WABE station in Atlanta. Rachel, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of The New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.